the growth of the church. We've been in the book of Acts. I encourage you to read along in the book of Acts the next few weeks. We may keep going, we may not, but right now it seems like we are on Sunday morning in the book of Acts. And we've been starting at the beginning and moving on up, and we've saw a lot of miracles happen. We've seen the New Testament church come alive. We've seen the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, and a lot of things happening here. And we continue on today with the growth of the church. If you remember last week, we had dealt with the cripple that was healed. Peter and John said, listen, I don't have any silver or gold, that thing to give you, but what I have, I'll give it. And he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And here's this man who had been a beggar and a cripple for 40 years, most people say, but it had been a long time. He had never taken a step in his life. And he was asking for help there, sat at the gate and begged his whole life. And then Jesus empowered Peter and John to bring about healing to him. So now the crowd was amazed at that, the scripture said. They're hearing, and it spread through the temple and around the area, and people started coming to what's called Solomon's Porch, and they wanted an explanation. They wanted to, what's happening here? What happened to this man? And they knew it was the same guy, because they had been seeing him over and over and over, year after year, and they knew for sure that it was him. And they said, what's happening? So now Peter understands this. He says, he don't say it in Scripture, and maybe he does in a way, but it's like, here's the opportunity. These people are wanting an explanation, so here's the crowd, here's the opportunity, and I'm going to seize that opportunity. And that's exactly what he did. If you look at Acts 3:11 through 13 on the screen, it says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had declared or decided to let him go. So here's the story, and they're saying here, listen, the people were astonished. They were amazed. They were marveling at what happened in the healing of this man here. And Peter and John, They're wondering, well, you're looking at it wrong, you know, like we have this power. They go on to explain that this power comes from the Lord. When you see something like that happen today, or you see a healing take place, or we wonder sometimes, do they take place? My answer is yes. God's still a God of miracles. Do you believe that? He's still working in people's lives. He's still saving people. He's still in the miracle business. So why should it surprise us, or why should it puzzle us if that would happen today? Well, it shouldn't, but it does, and it did here too, you know. But God's still God. He's on his throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The Holy Spirit's available to us. And we should not be so surprised, because God still cares for people. God still loves people, and he's still doing a work today. So Peter says, listen, this source of this power is not me. It's not me and John, in so many words, he says. This is coming from God. The power, the godliness that you see happening here that brought about this miracle, God is glorifying his son. And he goes on to tell them about, you know, how God sent his son. And he says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has done this miracle. And he goes to explain to them how God's honoring his son. Now in verses 13 and 15 on the screen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. So now he goes on a little deeper in explaining that not only did the men of that day, but all mankind put Jesus on the cross because of our sin. You placed Jesus there. And you say, well, I wasn't there. I didn't place him there. But we all did. Our sin placed him there. So it's not just one person or one group of people. Jesus died for every man's sin. You believe that? Every man. Every man's sin. And every man's sin necessitated his death. If we were going to be saved, if we were going to be reconciled back to God, Jesus paid the price, and he's the only one that could. So if that's true, and it is, then no one is exempt from the love of God. Right or wrong? That's right. No one. It don't matter about the skin color or all these things we get hung up on, that every man, every human being is important to God. So he died for the sins of the world, mine and yours, and they were covered when Jesus died. So my sin put him on the cross, your sin put him on the cross, and we were thankful. He goes on to say here, these men denied Jesus even when he was innocent, and Jesus went to the cross anyway. He was not guilty of the things they charged him with, and even Pilate recognized that. He brought that up in saying this. And Pilate recognized it, but you chose a murderer instead to be let go, to be freed. So here we sit this morning on a holiday weekend. A few of us here, a few there, whatever is going on in the life of people. And we think, are we going to give everything over to God? You know, I can ask myself that question. You can ask yourself that question. Am I truly turning everything over to God? And I've found that it is very few people that turn everything over to God. Now, you may disagree with that, but very few that turn everything over. We're in a process of growing and learning. I know that. But as we run into unbelievers, we run into people who are lost. There's a predicament, you see, with Jesus. You've got to do something with Jesus. Amen? You've got to do something with Jesus. Jesus doesn't just sit here and it's like people you say that ride the fence or whatever. You've got to make a decision when it comes to Jesus Christ. The world does. We know that he is true and we know he is the Savior of the world. And either you say, okay, I realize that, and I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to submit my life to him, or the other is, get away from here. Have you ever noticed that in witnessing to people? They'll come on, and it's like, I don't want to hear anything you got to say today. Or, okay, I'll get saved. But somewhere in the spirit is convicting, and that thing of sin, you've got to make a decision. And it's either, you know, go on away from here, I don't want to hear it, because people know what they must do to be born again, to accept Jesus as Lord, to make him Lord of their life. So people will surrender to who he is, or they just want to push it away from them. Scripture declares time and time again that God's Son was perfectly holy and righteous, without sin, but he took the sin of mankind. You know that story. So he's trying to, I think, here give the example again. You know, you folks here, you really desired this sinner instead of the holy and righteous one, and you chose him to be freed. So if you're denying the holy one, then you're choosing the murderer. And people today have to make a choice too. It's sin or holiness. Which do we choose? One or the other. Sin or holiness. Are we going to choose unrighteousness or righteousness? What are we going to choose? Corruption, incorruption. Death over life. It's a choice that we have to make here. And I think he was trying to bring that point out. Verse 16 on the screen says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that's given this complete healing to him. And you can see this. He's saying, listen, this is the power of Jesus. By faith in Jesus' name, this man whom you see and know was made strong. And again, he stresses this was a work of Jesus Christ that's brought this healing on. It's not me, Peter's saying, but it is the power of Jesus Christ that's done this, the faith in his name. And he wants us all to believe in his name. Verse 19 on the screen says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So he don't make any bones about it. He says, so repent. Repentance. Now, what is that all about? You hear the word conversion, repenting. You know the language, but it means to turn. Repentance is still part of this salvation experience. And in our world, in our country, we're losing some of that in our churches about repentance is necessary to be saved. I want Jesus, you know, I want to go to heaven, and you know, but I want to live the way I want to live, and I still want Jesus, and I still want to go to heaven. With Jesus Christ, he's either the Lord or he's not. You've chosen him as Lord and Savior, and then you live for him. You got to repent of sin to be saved. Amen? It's not just give me a little Jesus, just kind of soothe my conscience, you know, and maybe I'll get to heaven and all that kind of stuff. To serve the Lord and to be saved, you repent. And he makes it clear, repent here. It's a turning from sin to God. And it says your sins are what? Then there's different words we could use here. Blotted out, erased, rubbed off, wiped out. That kind of language tells what happens to that sin when we repent. And he says, then the Lord will send these seasons of refreshing. Times from his presence, the renewal we need in our heart, the blessings, the joy, the rejoicing. So I say to Christians and non alike, certainly a non-Christian has got to repent and turn to God to be saved. But as Christian people, if there's anything in our heart or our life that we need to repent for, we need to do that as well. Because then the seasons of refreshing from God's Spirit will come. So if there's any need to repent of any sin, I encourage you to do that. It's absolutely necessary for forgiveness of sin is repentance. And we can't forget that. You can't just continue on in the same old lifestyle doing all the things you did before you were forgiven. And just think it's okay. The Bible just don't teach that. It says to repent, turn away from sin, and turn to Christ. Verses 20 and 21 says, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he's promised long ago through the holy prophets. Jesus is presently in heaven. Yes, we know his Spirit's with us and lives within us, but he's in heaven till he decides to return. To God says, go get the church. First Thessalonians on the screen says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive, are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." He's coming back. We know he's coming back. We can't give the date exactly because we don't know it. But one day, God the Father is going to say to Jesus, "Go get the church," and he's going to do it. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Encourage one another with these words. If you're saved, you're born again, you're living for the Lord, you know that you're going to heaven, you know that the Lord's coming again one day, and if you're not ready, get ready before he comes. It's just that simple. So, here's what Peter saw. The Lord had raised up this cripple, this guy who was begging for all those years. The people knew it. They saw him day after day, and they said, "Something's happening here." So Peter says, here's a great opportunity. The crowd's wanting an explanation. They're curious to what's going on. So with this stirring here that God has performed, that the Lord Jesus has healed, there's a stirring of people. They've got questions, so I'm going to seize the opportunity, and I'm going to tell them about this. And he took that opportunity, and he says, the goodness of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, this godliness, this act that you've seen come from the Lord Jesus. And listen, because of the death of Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, salvation is possible. And he says, repent and turn now and live for the Lord. And then he reminds them, guess what? Jesus is coming again. A story that you've known for a long time, but I just remind you of it again today. So, I pray to you, or I ask that you pray to the Lord today, and whatever your need is on this weekend, to know that God can meet that need. I don't know what's on your heart and your mind today, but there's nobody here but us and the Lord, and in Jesus' name we kick the devil out. So it's just us. It's a holiday weekend. The message has been short and to the point. So what do you need from the Lord? What would you ask if Jesus was standing here? What would you say to him? Lord Jesus, this is what I need today. I need help with my family. I need physical healing in my body. Lord, I need help in the financial situation I'm in. Lord, I need to be saved. Lord, I need to repent of sin so I can be yours. What would we say? I don't know. But if God is for us, who can be against us, is what Madeline was singing about. If God's for us, who can be against us? So whatever's on your heart and your mind this morning, I invite you to speak with the Lord about it today. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can read the book of Acts and we can look at the early church. We can see the first miracles of the church. We see the growth of the church. We see how brothers and sisters were together in unity and breaking bread in their homes, and they were given to the apostles' teaching. And God, we see the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're excited just to review a little bit about the early church. And here this healing took place of this cripple. And Peter was so encouraged by it, but he was telling the people, trying to explain, listen, this is because of Jesus. This is the one you denied and it said, turn loose a murderer. And yeah, he died. He was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And this power comes from him. and he was glorifying you and telling people about you. And God, here we are all these years later, and not a whole lot's changed. People today still need to be saved. People today that are already saved need the encouragement and the filling of the Holy Spirit that we can face day after day. So God, again, here we are, gathered in the name of Jesus, and only you know the hearts of people here today. May we all know we're loved by Almighty God. May we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us. And God, maybe we'll praise you today. Maybe we'll thank you. Or maybe, God, there's an area of life that we need to repent. And we would just say, Lord, forgive me of this sin or this area of life. I want to turn from that. And I'm going to turn to you, God, because I need that season of refreshment from the Spirit. So, God, you know every heart, you know every mind, and we ask you to speak to us and help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.